Father, we come to you and we are a people in need of your visitation in our lives. We just thank you, Father, for your presence here tonight. And in that presence, Lord, you've brought into our hearts a joy and a peace, a rest that does belong to the people of God. And we just say thank you, Father, for what you've done here. Thank you for the comfort that you brought to minds and hearts tonight, Father. We delight in that, and we just want to continue to lift you up and boast in your greatness. And now, Father, we ask that before we leave this place, that we would be touched again by the Word of God as it would come into our hearts, that you would stir us, Father, with all of your great promises and cause us to be a people who would not faint at adversity or in these times of trial, Father, but we would stand sure upon the promises of God. They are yea and they are amen. And we rejoice in that, Father. And so we give you the praise and we give you all the glory, Father, as you build your church tonight. Strengthen us tonight, Lord. We are your church, and you've said the gates of hell would not prevail against us. And so we stand assured in that. And regardless of what stands on the horizon, we are a people headed toward victory. We are a people that are headed toward the establishment of your name upon the earth and your kingdom, Father. And so we delight in that, and we ask that you surely would find faith when you come as you impart it into our lives, and we receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Chapter 18, you know, we see the apostles over in chapter 17, verse 5, praying and saying, Lord, increase our faith. And we could sure use that tonight, couldn't we? Lord, increase our faith. And we want to talk a little bit tonight about really how to see the faith of God increase in our lives in a practical way and understand that it's by rest and not by works. You can't work hard enough to increase your faith, but you can rest enough to increase your faith. And, you know, we understand that there's a labor that's required for entering into that rest, and the labor is ceasing from our own works. The most difficult thing for you and I to do is to stop working. To stop wanting to add our little bit of input into the situation, or to think that somehow we would set a new standard for ourselves that we believe would obligate God. And so if we begin to say, well, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray a little more and I'm going to fast a little more. Those are great things. But not to think that somehow it's going to influence God. It's going to change you. Okay? And so as we look at these chapters here and we see the apostles crying out to God and saying, Lord, increase our faith. We see the Lord speaking over in the 18th chapter, and a parable was spoken to the children of God. And he says, in this parable, I want you to understand this truth. Here's one of the main truths of the parable. It has nothing to do with this unjust judge. That's just a contrast to the faithfulness, the goodness of God, and his desire to speedily avenge you. Amen? Amen? So we're not trying to get an unjust, unwilling God to somehow answer our prayer. The parable tells us God is more than ready to exercise his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants you to be delivered speedily, praise God. And so we need to understand that. And so he says, here's this parable, And I want you to understand that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Successful praying has a lot to do with not fainting, with being able to stand in assurance, a rest in the promises and in the presence of God. Don't be shaken. Don't be moved. Stand fast. Abraham, fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. And so we want to talk about that full persuasion and how it's exercised. Now there's a scheduled surgery tomorrow at 10:30 for little Gabrielle. I don't foresee a surgery in her life or in her future. I can't believe that's God's will for her. And so praise God, there's a lot of time between now and 10:30 in the morning. Amen? Faith that calls things that are not as though they were. A faith that doesn't faint. A faith that holds on to God regardless of the circumstances or the environment around us, that lets God be true and every man a liar. And so in this particular parable, he tells us this story, and he says there was this judge, and it says this woman came to him to have her avenged of her adversaries, and he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow wears me out, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now, the scripture is not saying that we're not to continue to come. For men ought and not to faint. And so we realize that's this parable. And God has commanded us then to stand fast in these promises that he's revealed to us in whatever the circumstances might be that we find ourselves in as we're crying out to God to avenge us of our adversaries. We have an adversary. He's the devil. He goes about seeking whom he may devour. Amen? He's come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. Hallelujah. It's time for us to drive this oppression out of our midst. It's time for us to stand up and realize these great promises of God, our infinite promises. There is nothing that can any way come against and defeat or counteract what God has declared his will for your life, for my life to be. Amen? And so we have these promises, and then circumstances begin to change and time schedules begin to close in on us. And we begin to faint in our minds, and we begin to be desperate, and we begin to be moved by circumstances. The God that we serve is a God that moves outside of time and space. Amen? These things that we're believing him from have already been determined and declared from before the foundations of the world. If only we could take hold of God at his word. And so he goes on in the promise and he says, I want to tell you some good news. He said, hear what the unjust judge says. He was able to be worn down. But God doesn't need to be worn down. Verse 7. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry unto him day and night? And he is long suffering with them? The King James Version, the English here says, will he not deliver his own elect, which cry day and night to him, though he bear long with them? That word though in the Greek is really and or also. It's saying, and he is long suffering with us, praise God. He wants to avenge his own elect. And he is long suffering. I tell you that he will avenge them, say it, speedily, praise God. And we need to believe God to be at work in our lives, in all of these trials, in all of these adversities. We need to understand that God wants to deliver us with speed. Hallelujah. Now we know that our lack of character building in these things can slow things down. And there are other aspects, and we're not going to talk tonight about the exceptions. We're going to talk about the rule, and the rule is God wants to deliver you with speed. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? We need to take hold of that tonight. And as we pray, don't be thinking about all of the other exceptions that might be placed under the category of the sovereignty of God. We need to grab hold of the declared will of God and accept nothing less, praise God. And let him avenge us with speed, as the scripture says here. Nevertheless, it's his will to avenge us speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? He's already declared he wants us to be victorious, to be delivered with speed. His question is, when I come, will I find faith on the earth? Now, as we look at our own lives and ask ourselves the question, would we say in our own lives that our faith is growing? Can we say that our faith today is more dynamic than it's ever been in our lives? Are you trusting God with a greater faith of abandonment of your life into his arms and into his promises than you've ever known before? Lord, increase our faith. Amen? Increase our faith. Now we know what the scripture says. It's very clear to us over in Romans 10. You can turn over there if you want. And in Romans 10, we see the promise of God, and we're told that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're so well taught on this. We could all teach this subject. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now we've shared, and we won't spend a lot of time going into the details of it, but we're going to make reference. It's so important. We know that that hearing that's being spoken of here has to do with the ability to come into the presence of God. We shared before that the word hearing really has to do with a clearer understanding rather than just hearing, audio perception. To see this hearing as more of a hearing that would be in a courtroom setting, or another way to see it is the fact that there would be an audience. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by an audience of God. Let's hear it from another description. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by being in the presence of God. So what is it that we're now waiting to hear? If this is what the Spirit of God is trying to communicate to us, what's being spoken here is this. We need to get before God. Lord, increase our faith. We need to get before God and stay there until you have a fresh word from God. Not a Bible verse that we read. It's not enough for us to sit down and recite Isaiah 53. Or even Matthew 8. Or 1 Peter 2. That's the Bible, isn't it? And it's tremendous. And do we need to read these promises constantly and put them into our heart? Amen. And we know that this word is alive. We know that it's powerful. We know that it comes into our very spirit man and discerns the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. That as we're reading it, it's judging our own heart condition. And you know what I hear more often than I want to when I'm reading those verses and I'm refreshing myself in the spirit? What I hear too often is this, you know, this isn't alive in you. Oh, it's very active in your mind. But those that commune with me, those that worship me, those that have fellowship with me, it must be done in spirit and in truth. Lord, increase our faith. This audience with God. We've got to come into the presence of God and get quiet. And not leave until we've heard from God again of what His declaration is, His will is on our behalf in these circumstances. The one thing we need to really deal with, and we talked about works, you know, and making sure that we're not trying to get into just gritting our teeth and I'm going to believe God harder. Faith rests. As we get quiet before Father and have that communion with Him, the assurance that tells us it's His will to avenge us speedily, the assurance as we find our rest in Him that it is His good pleasure to give us all kingdom benefits. We wrestle with doubts. We wrestle with fears. We try to pull those doubts down and fight against them. We see this mountain that's opposing us and we think, how can I get my faith to the size that it'll move that mountain? And we fail to realize that without knowing it, We're trying to have faith in our faith. And this is simple, I understand, but it's so necessary for us to get a hold of. Our faith has to be in God. What am I saying? You're not going to get faith studying faith. You're not going to get faith in the library. You're going to get it in the secret place of the Most High God. When you rub up against God and realize in full assurance He is touched with the feelings of your infirmities. When you can come before Him in that prayer closet, and as we heard the prayer tonight, the understanding, as we look into the heavenlies, why would we fear when Jesus is praying for us? Hallelujah. In other words, if our faith isn't quite there, He's going to make up the difference. Hallelujah. You want to know the great thing about mustard seed faith? It never tries to get bigger, the mustard seed. It doesn't try to measure up to the mountain. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. And so we understand then the need to come and to commune with Him. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, by fellowshipping in the very presence of God. Those that come to Him must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You see, I can't believe that there's a surgery in that little girl's future because I've already seen her healed. And as you see what God's desire is, and you see the finished work of God with eyes of faith. Turn over to Romans 4 for just a second. We'll turn back a little bit and take a look at this thing. Verse 16 of chapter 4, therefore it is of faith that it might be by unmerited favor that we might see the end of the promise, that it would become sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. He goes on in the parenthetical statement to help us see what's here. It says, as it is written, I have made him a father of many nations. Abraham, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Who against hope believed in hope. I hear what the doctors are saying. I know what the prognosis is. But I believe that by the stripes of Jesus we're healed, praise God. And I call things that are not as though they were. You've got to see it in the spirit realm. You've got to have it done in your heart and mind, or we're not moving in biblical faith. Well, what happens if what you have seen or what you believe doesn't manifest? Then I arrive at that juncture in faith. Amen. And my faith doesn't change because my trust is in God, not in my faith. And And if it wants to kick over into one of those other sovereign aspects, that's God's business. But I can't see it any other way. I can't believe anything else. I have to hope against hope. I have to say what God's saying about this situation, or I'm not moving in faith. And we'll see that a little bit tonight. There's got to be belief. We know what the word belief means. It means to have corresponding action. You got to do something. Sometimes the doing is just the declaration. Sometimes it's the effort of getting up and stepping out of the boat onto the water. Sometimes the belief puts the man in the cot and you carry him down to the meeting and you rip the roof off of the place and lower him down. But you got to do something. That is in obedience, listen, we said you can't work it, it's not in work. That's in obedience to the promises of God. We must labor to enter into rest. And so as we're seeing this about Abraham here, he goes on and it says, against hope. And we're very familiar, you know, with the story, and he goes on and makes this statement. Look at verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Now he's 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now Sarah couldn't have kids anyway before, so she's aging along and now her womb. From the natural perspective, we're going to go, okay, Sarah's probably finally reached the age where we might as well give up on her having kids. She couldn't before anyway, but you know, I mean now it's really impossible. Isn't it interesting how we allow circumstances as it begins to stack up to become greater? I like this reference to that aspect in this comment. Faith is never mountain moving because it moves mountains, but because it does not doubt that God can move them and will. As the need arises. And then he goes on, and I think it's a great observation that he has here. He says, mountain-moving faith never tries nor even thinks of trying to move mountains. It is fully convinced it could not if it tried. But it is also confident it need not try, for God will do it. You see, it has nothing to do with the mountain. It has to do with how big God is. And he goes on and makes that, there's a quote here that I just absolutely love. He goes on and makes this statement about mustard seed faith is as undismayed at the opposition of a mountain as it is of a tree. Because first, it does not reflect on its own size, is not abased by self-consciousness, is unconcerned about its own insignificance, and because it does not make a business of measuring obstacles, has no eye for their relative size. As they are all finite, they are all one size to faith, less than God. Don't you like that? Amen. Everything we have opposing us is less than God. And our faith is in God, not in our faith. not in our ability to rise up and become as big as the opposition that we're facing. Have the faith of a little child. Amen. In our weakness, His strength is perfected. Great faith then is neither self-absorbed nor absorbed with circumstances, but is absorbed with God. And so we see then that as we're faced with these sayings and we get so caught up in our own ability to perform, and am I praying enough, and am I fast enough? Do I have the right scriptures? You've got the right God. Amen. You've got the right loving Heavenly Father. He's touched with the feelings, our infirmities. He's already declared us victors. Amen. For our faith is the victory. And so it says here about Abraham, it says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. Don't get occupied with the circumstances. Stop looking at the doctor's reports, the doctor's prognosis. We're not talking Christian Science and trying to ignore and say it's not there. It's there. We're ignoring it. It has no right to be there. I'm not going to get absorbed with its presence. I'm going to get absorbed with God's promises. That's what it's saying. Some people try to say, well, that's like Christian Science. It's not even close to what Christian Science is. You know, we've talked about it before. This guy's arm's broken in half and, you know, like this. And you say, man, you got to get that broken arm fixed. And the guy goes, Ma, I don't have a broken arm. Yeah, you do. Look at that thing. We're not denying that it's broken. We're professing that by the stripes of Jesus, it will be healed. Hallelujah. And that we have every right to expect it speedily. And then when the circumstances don't change immediately, we stagger not. And we consider not this body that's now dead. He considered not his own body. He staggered not, verse 20, at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, say it with me, giving glory to God. We're going to glorify God, whether circumstances change or not, whether what we observe changes or not. We're going to glorify God because His promises are sure to 1,000 generations. Amen. His promises are yea and amen. And we call things that are not yet observed as though they are. Because faithful is He who promised. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now we talked about faith coming by an audience with God. You know, one of the things that's interesting about Abraham, we see here his reaction to the promises of God and this miracle of the birth of Isaac. The faith that manifested, that brought that to pass. But I believe sometimes even a greater rest needed in Abraham to be able to offer Isaac up after he had already received the promise. You know, sometimes it's more difficult, you know, in round two to take those promises that God has given us and place them back up on the altar again. And say, Lord, you've blessed us. You've blessed me with this little baby. This child is the heritage of the Lord. This is your, we just put him back up on the altar, praise God. You gave him to us in the first place. And we rest. Now, Abraham didn't immediately find that rest, did he? I don't want to spend a whole lot more time on this. I want to go to some more passages, but we know what happened with Hagar and, you know, how they had a better idea. Isn't it interesting? As long as Abraham still had life in him, as long as he was able to procreate, you know, they said, well, you got to get involved in this thing. This was going to be a miracle of God. Amen. Didn't need Abraham's help. He'll bring that body back to life for one last hurrah. And so as we look at these promises and as we're in prayer and just trusting God to move in our midst, as I was in intercession this morning and just praying for some of these needs, praying for little Gabby, and just thanking Father that He's put these things on my heart as though it were my own child. As I prayed today in intercession, and I don't pray for everybody on the list every day. I pray as the Spirit of God orders and the burdens that He puts upon my heart, and I know that He's putting other people on others' hearts. But today, praying primarily for the sick and just believing God to visit us. What a visitation there was during worship tonight. If you were here tonight, and my prayer for some here this evening, and some of these that we're even making reference to that we've been praying for the physical, but not limited to these. I've received a number of calls just recently for prayer and to be encouraged by the Word of God. And a number just being overwhelmed with fear. Fear of having made wrong decisions. Fear of the consequences of the accuser of the brethren. The devil coming and saying, I'm going to kill you and I'm going to take your kids down. And I'm going to, you know, destroy your marriage. And, you know, you go through and it's just in other circumstances. Oh, I trust that some of you tonight were able to step into that presence and be delivered from that fear tonight. Praise God. God was here tonight to free you from fear and from anxiousness, and you just had to step in. The waters were troubled, praise God. Now, just because some of the emotional and physical awareness might be gone, I want to tell you something. God's still here. Don't leave here tonight without your deliverance. God came in here to deliver you tonight. We believe in God for your deliverance, and He came in here tonight to set you free. Don't go out of here, praise God, in bondage. And I don't care if you feel goosebumps or have any natural confirmation. Call things that are not as though they were, praise God, and walk out of here whole in the name of Jesus. Devil's a liar in the first place. There's no truth in him. Just take whatever he was saying and realize the opposite is true. Hallelujah. But we've got to have this audience with God. Our faith is not going to increase until we get quiet before God and refuse to get up until that still small voice has given you a fresh rhema. It says, here's what I have for you tonight. Here's what I want you to understand. Fresh from the lips of God. Are we doing that in our prayer lives? You can only get much from God when you're much with God. That presence will change your thinking. It'll pull down all of those strongholds. That shield of faith will quench those fiery darts that are lying against the truth of God. And as we prayed for Sarah's liver this morning and just going before the throne of God and getting in agreement with God's promises in His presence. Jesus is praying for us, so we need to find out what He's praying and get in agreement with Him. Amen? Go into the presence of God. Enter in boldly. Walk up there beside Jesus by the throne of God and listen to what He's saying and get in on it, praise God. That's what prayer is. But you don't get in there by just running in and spending a couple of minutes. You don't enter the presence of God until you're willing to spend time sweating and working and warring against your own flesh and bringing down all of the strongholds and denying yourself whatever recreations and playtimes there might be or whatever other obligations might be at hand. And enter with the Spirit, I will not turn you loose until you've blessed me. I want to hear your voice. I want to come out and represent you accurately. I want to say what you're saying about this situation. And you know what he's saying about this situation? You have not because you ask not. Ask and you will receive, praise God. Seek and you will find. We're not talking about anything casual. Seek until it's revealed to you and you will have found it. As I was praying for Joni this morning, and she's suffering with a number of acute, deadly issues with her liver. An infection throughout her body. I don't know about you, does it make you angry? The devil has no right to do this to the people of God. We're at war. Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do you resist Him properly? It's not again by getting preoccupied and absorbed with the circumstances. I resist you. I rebuke you, devil. I resist you, devil. Draw nigh unto God. Praise God. Satan hates His presence. When your face lights up like Moses with the glory of God, when you've been infused with the promises of God, Satan will flee you. He can't stand light. He hates the Word of God. But until we sober to the place of understanding the magnitude of this warfare, we're not dealing with just church service time praying. We're not dealing with issues that just have to do with our 15-minute devotional time in the Word of God. People's lives are at stake. God's glory is at stake. And I don't mean God will not be glorified. He will be glorified. I want Him glorified here, praise God. I want to see Him glorified. And so these promises come to us and the Word of God comes and is alive in our hearts. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the proof of things not seen. And I know there's a play on the first part of that some people use, and I just don't know that it's good exegesis, but I like the thought of it. Now, faith is. Faith is always something that's present. Faith is. And as we come to God and believe that God is and that He's a rewarder of those that will diligently seek Him, we don't have to wait for our faith to build up. We don't have to say, man, you know, I've been lacking, so how long is it going to take? Faith ramps up now. When you get in God's presence and you're willing to hear His word and you take what God says and put it in your mouth and speak it, it is now, praise God. It is alive. It is powerful. And we trust that God manifests and honors His word then in our presence. You know, a report has come in about little Colton and problems with his feet, and he's going to have to wear, you know, apparatus day and night on his feet. And we don't have to take this. When we come and become of one heart, and when we become of one accord with common and mutual fervency, to grasp the immediate, the rhema of God as a people, to hear what God is saying, to speak His word to Him in faith. We will see signs and wonders done in the name of the Holy Child, Jesus. Amen? Because God is no respecter of persons, and His promises are sure. Father, we ask You to move upon our hearts tonight. Father, we understand what's at stake. We understand what's necessary to achieve what needs to be achieved. But I don't know that we're willing to pay the price yet. Speak to us, Lord. Take each of us by our hearts. And let us cry out, Lord, that You would help us in our unbelief. You have declared that all things are possible to he that believes. And we have maimed people here that need to walk, and blind people that need to see. Lord, You have come and healed all of our diseases, cancers must flee. Diseased organs made whole. Because by Your stripes, You suffered to set us free, Father, and by Your stripes we are healed, Jesus. You've said according to our faith it would be done unto us. Oh, Jesus. Show Yourself mighty here tonight. Lord Jesus, be made big in Your church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, masho baraha shatanda satakata. We delight in You, Lord. We boast in You, Lord. Hallelujah. This is the confidence that we have in You, that if we ask anything according to Your will, You hear us. Hallelujah. Oh, my soul, marabashata, nasapabakata, satatata. Jesus, we delight in You. Father, we boast in Your great love and mercy to us. We will not forget all of Your benefits to us. Hallelujah. Don't let us stagger at the promise. Don't let circumstances beat us down. You said we ought to always pray. We pray and we pray and we pray up till that moment of confrontation, and we pray afterwards, and we praise You when the victory comes, and we praise You when You continue with us and suffer long with us. Glory to you, Jesus. You're so good to us, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just stand together and let's just finish by declaring the victory, thanking Him that those are set free tonight, those that have come in here with fears and anxiousness and unbelief, that the Spirit of God has come and lifted their hands and their hearts, that they're freed. Those of you, declare it done in the name of Jesus. Draw near to God and watch Satan flee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make God big and watch the devil flee. Praise Him and He'll set ambushments in the heavenlies and drive Satan out. You're good, Father. It's finished. Hallelujah. Oh, maso barakata sanete petaka. Oh, lama. Do something, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, Mata. We declare it, Father. We declare it. We stand in agreement with your great promises. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, turn to somebody next to you and say, our faith is the victory. Hallelujah. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.